Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started. Welcome to Keeping It Real Estate, the show where we keep it real about all things real estate, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis.
And I'm Tiffany Young, where every week we break down the world of real estate to help you make smart decisions, whether you're buying, selling, or investing. And today we will be talking about generational housing and active adult communities.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, let us tell you a little bit about who we are. We're with Treasure Coast Realty Group, and we're located right in Fort Pierce on Florida's Treasure Coast. And to give you a little bit of background about and how we got started here on the show, we found that there were a lot of people coming to our office that either didn't have the information or that were just misinformed on the information. So we thought this would be a great platform to start sharing what needs to be shared so people can get out and have and make knowledgeable decisions when it came to real estate.
Yeah.
So, and also as a reminder, I'd like to also engage listeners out there that this is a live call-in show. So if you have any conversation or content and you'd like to discuss relative to our show today, you can call in at 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100.
Yeah, we'd love for you to weigh in on today's topic. So Luke, let's start with generational housing.
All right,
like let everyone know what that's all about.
All right. So in a nutshell, generational housing is where multiple generations live under one roof, sharing several components. And to get off to the start, which is my absolute favorite one, is to talk about the number one reason why I think they're great.
Yeah, it offers a few advantages.
Yep. Mm-hmm. On my list, number one, stronger family bonds. Mm. You know, when you're sharing a home, it encourages daily interaction. You're always talking and communicating with each other, and you're deepening family relationships.
Yeah.
And this fosters a supportive family environment.
Oh, it absolutely does, you know? And let's not forget about the financial savings that can bring. You know, living together, you're pooling your resources financially, which can ease that burden, not only sharing in like utility costs, mm-hmm. but also the mortgage payment, because now the large expenses are a little more manageable. And
they're
not
shared.
Just for, let's say, your son or daughter, but for yourself, because now you can have a little more disposable income because you're being assisted by those in your home. And now they can also save towards the down payment of a home, which is, you know, normally a big problem because you're paying high rents right now. And
high,
so
extremely high.
Having this option to live with a relative, a parent, and save towards a down payment is such a great thing.
Yeah, and you mentioned a portion of not only are you able to help family members by sharing your home, but you're also being helped as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those costs that you've had to carry on your own for such a long period of time, you're now taking those expenses and you're kind of dividing them up among people who are, or family members who say, hey, we like to reside here for a while until we save some money.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can do, and not it's not all about saving. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's an opportunity for you to just kind of live a little bit, you
yeah,
know?
And but, yeah, for sure. And not just moving in with, let's say, a parent, but we see where people are pooling their resources to purchase a home where they have, instead of two incomes, maybe three or four incomes, and now they can afford a larger home where they can live comfortably with both sets of both generations,
I should say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that makes it easier. So now instead of saying, okay, we're going to live here temporarily, mm-hmm. we're going to purchase that home together and we'll stay here, you know, and after our, let's say, parents move on, you know, mm-hmm. go on. So it's a great thing to think about.
Yeah. And share responsibilities.
Yeah.
These are the little caveats that are always left out. Duties such as child care. And before we move on into other shared responsibilities, you know, I don't know if I had this conversation with you, but I was talking with an associate of mine who has a child.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she shared with me that now this is someone that comes to her house for like 7 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
right? 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who's just coming into the house watching her child, She's paying $800 a month. And I said, wow, $800 a month, that's a lot. But when she quickly told me that if she was to go to child care, it would be $1,300 a month for one child.
Yeah.
So imagine having two children. You know, if you're at $1,300 for one, say they give you a discount on the second one. I hate to say that when we're talking about children, but, you know, we'll give you two for $2,000. You know, that's not much of a discount when you start thinking about it. So, you know, those expenses like childcare, and let's not forget about yourself, elder care.
Yeah, for
sure.
Because
as we get older, you'll always be cognizant that we're going to need someone to look after us as well, right?
So, so having, let's say, a grandparent in the home that can help watch the child on a daily basis, that saves money as well.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a, like built in everything, built in
including
support.
Chores. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be careful with that one, though.
What?
The chores, the household chores, right?
Wait, well, you did, make a chart.
No, I would just work late every night. I'll never get there in time to do mine. Wait on me for dinner
if you
want.
Well, then you won't eat.
I would eat before I get home. Make no mistake
you
about it.
You are a bad team member.
I'm competitive.
You're a bad team player.
I am. Yeah. But what about emotional support?
Yeah. You know, living together, having that multi-generational home, there's a built-in network for people that to support you. You have conversations with, you know, feeling more connected and less isolated because you have, you know, loved ones close around you.
Yeah.
And that's real. That's a component that we forget. You know, we're so disconnected now with the tech AI age where people, you know, spend a lot of time to themselves. But when you're in an environment where you're forced to interact with those that love you and are non-judgmental, it's a really great thing to have.
Yeah, that's interesting how you segued the emotional support component to tech, right? Self-sufficiency now comes through apps.
Yeah.
You know, everything. There's no contact.
Oh,
And it's so easy for someone who's alone to just say, everything I need is right here in my little, you know, between my two thumbs.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of apps, like when we talk about that, you know, like I love to reference TikTok, but, you know, TikTok is like how it used to be YouTube University. Yeah. Now TikTok taught me. So on TikTok, everyone's the young kids are learning how to cook there, as opposed to, let's say, living in that generational home where you have your grandmother teaching you her old recipe that's passed down over generations. So that's another thing to look forward to where, you know, you're in, along with those recipes, they're giving you words of wisdom and sharing family stories, you know, just making it, giving them something so that they can say, did you know your grandmother? No, I didn't. Well, now you have that opportunity living with someone to, you know, get to know a little bit about your past, your family's past.
Yeah. It's amazing how much family information is lost in only the living, right? You don't get to know who someone was before your mom or your grandmother. You know, you only know the people around you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in a lot of cases, you have no idea why you even ended up in a certain place.
Right.
And there are
or how.
Yeah, there are a lot of families that in some cases are every day getting up and opening doors to businesses that were started. You know, a friend of mine calls it the shirt sleeve, where they've had businesses that were started by grandparents and great-grandparents, and the people who are here today have no idea
what it took.
And I mean, there's so much that I've learned that I learned in my lifetime sitting at the kitchen table in the afternoon before the second street light came on, right? And for those of you out there who can understand that, I know that you know what I mean. We're going to stop there for a second just to give you a reminder that this is a live call-in show. And if you have any content on today's topic, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100. And before we go any further, I'd like to just say hello to Larry Lee, one of our listeners out there. We had some dialogue today, and he said he'd be listening in. And Larry, just want to thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in the community, and continue to do the good work.
Good stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
So what about the resilience?
I mean, families are better equipped to handle crises or unexpected challenges when they're locked in together. And I feel like how generational housing provides for that, you know?
Yeah.
Overall, it can lead to a more enriching and secure, resilient family life, I feel.
Yeah. So we all know that tough times happen in every family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they do, imagine having your family group around you to not share in the crisis, but be able to support each other.
Support is so
important.
Through
the crisis, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it so much easier to get through something difficult when there are people who are feeling that same emotion that you're feeling when something not so good happens in your family.
And you know you have someone that's yeah. there for you that's not judging.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's so yep. important. You know, but what about when you're in a situation like this, when the children move out, they start their own, their families get their own homes.
You throw a party. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that part.
Well, after you do that,
okay.
Now, then you start feeling that emptiness. You yeah. know, now you're
Correct.
Thinking about right sizing into a smaller home. You know, so there are some things to consider in a time like that about how you want to now live, and that yeah. brings us to our next topic, which is an active adult community,
yeah.
because those are really taking on. Up here where
yep,
we are on the Treasure Coast, there's like so many options here and they're so different now. So tell us, what is an active adult community, Luke?
So an active adult community is a residential neighborhood. It's designed specifically for people and typically between coming at age of 55 and older who are looking for a lifestyle that basically emphasizes convenience, you know, social engagement and a range of recreational activities, you know, all the things that you've always wanted to do and have
yeah.
in one place
yeah.
inside the
yeah.
confines of your community.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
It's a new take on the old senior living.
Oh, it's so different,
you know, and
though.
It doesn't, yeah,
oh, yeah,
it's so different.
It's
but
so
yeah,
different.
It, you know, living in this type of community can offer so many benefits. You know, it can be tailored to a more vibrant, maintenance lighter lifestyle, you know, and there are some real advantages that you know that someone should consider when thinking about, okay, how do I want to live? Do I want to live in a regular community, or do I want to consider an active adult community?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So it gives you a chance to start having a lot of conversations with yourself. I know that sounds crazy, but when your children get older, we all go through it where you get to this point in life where, you start off as a small family and then you have a child and you say, this is great. This space that we're in now is going to just be everything we need. And then you have another child. And then you say, okay, we need a little bit more room. A little bit more room is going to be fine. We don't need too much, but a little bit more room. Because the kids are small.
Yeah.
They can share
space. They can
share. Yeah. And then, you know.
Teenagers.
Yeah. They will not share anything.
I want my own room.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Mom, yeah. I want your room.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. So then what happens at that point, now you're having to, you know, again make a move to make sure that everybody's taken care of and everyone's comfortable. And through that entire, you know, stage, you've just gone from one place to another.
Moving
you
up.
Know, moving up,
bigger,
trying to accommodate everyone.
Adding on to a home.
And then, like, your success story is that they all grow up and do their own thing, but what you're left with at that point is you've made all these moves throughout time to get to that place where everyone's comfortable, and you look around, and it's just you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a pretty serious thought.
Mm-hmm.
So to go more into that, why don't we get into living in an active community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what's one of the... Sorry about that, guys. We're having a little technical difficulty, but living in an active adult community, doing so, you have a built-in social network. You know, these communities are designed for like-minded individuals that can really foster a strong social connection.
Correct.
Yeah, because they have organized events, clubs. You can meet someone with shared interests because now, you know, it's hard to make friends as an adult. It's much harder. And moving into this type of community, you are around people. Maybe you're walking and or doing taking a class or doing a yoga or knitting, or they have things that can fit most people's needs.
Yeah, and so many they're divesting into so many different things now. It used to be it was pretty close to, you know, knitting, sewing. But now they're doing cooking classes and
pickleball.
Dance.
Pickleball. It's like, yeah. If you don't have a pickleball court, like, what are you doing?
Why are you, seriously, you're not an athletic adult. You know, what is this? You know, it used to be in the old days, there were shuffleboard courts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of outdoor activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now it's, there's swimming, there's archery, there's tennis.
Yeah.
You know, anything
they,
that you
they focus on
there.
Health and wellness a
lot
also, you know?
They promote an active lifestyle.
Yeah, with opportunities for like wellness programs, you know, and social activities that lead to
overall
to
well-being.
Contribute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
for sure.
Good for the mind.
For
right?
sure.
Right?
For sure.
But so when you talk about that, there are a couple other components that I think are very crucial to getting into a active adult community. And by the way, I love the new word, active adult community.
Yeah, that term is so much better than 55 plus or senior living.
Absolutely.
Or
there's no such thing. Give me a Santana or a Chicago concert and I'm up front in line. I mean, so, you know, people are active now.
Yes, for sure.
You're no longer sitting now waiting on something to happen.
Uh-huh.
But there's also abundant amenities. You know, you can enjoy the facilities like fitness centers, swimming pools, walking trails. There's clubhouses that support a healthy lifestyle.
Multiple classes.
Without the hassle of managing them on your own, or even better,
maintenance.
No, having to pay for them.
Oh, like extra.
Yeah.
Like, it's lower maintenance living because most communities take care of the exterior maintenance, like the landscaping. Of course, you know, they will take care of the common area. And it keeps you from having to think about that daily chore of, let's say, maybe mowing the lawn or something like that.
Yeah, that's good in the beginning when you start out and you're young. You know, you want to stand out there and mow your grass put your own mulch down.
Did you want to, or you think that that's a have to?
I think that was probably more of a have to in the beginning. Yeah. Home ownership in the beginning is like one more of those want to things. But you get to a point where you realize, I don't really have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And what I love about these communities, you come home and there's mulch and new plants in the yard.
Yeah.
So.
And also, they, you know, a lot of them now are gated and they offer, you know,
security.
Safety and security for sure. Because now, you know, a lot of them have security patrol, on-site security. You know, you feel more at ease in your living environment. And you're around people that share your same that are like-minded, you know?
Yeah, the security component is absolutely one of the best factors of having and living in a community of that sort.
Yeah, and of course, you know, convenience, because a lot of them are located near shopping centers,
Yeah, healthcare facilities, dining options.
Yeah, for sure.
We talked about a place that, wasn't it
Publix.
A restaurant? Yeah, she can't, we have to disguise the word because we're not going to support anybody's business, so we say it differently. You can figure it out on your own.
Yeah,
but
you know, and a lot of times these places have shuttle services that they can offer to get you to and from shopping.
Yeah.
So that's really great.
And make no mistake about it, when you start seeing anchors like those large food stores and pharmacies building in areas, they've already determined through feasibility studies, like, what's a hot spot that's going to generate revenue and dollars to their pockets. And if you look around within close proximity of any of them, you're going to find an active adult community either in place or in play, right? Every time, never fails you that you're going to find that. So once again, just like to stop for a second and repeat the call-in number for those of you who are interested in calling in. Number is 772-221-1100. And again, the number to call in is 772-221-1100.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Tiffany.
You know what? We were talking earlier about it being called senior living versus active adults community. And they're so different than they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
They've evolved significantly. Let us know some key changes that you've noticed, the difference.
Well, first of all, what I've noticed in the communities that have gone or being built and calling themselves active adult communities, there are people waiting to get in, right?
Right. Like, I mean, people that aren't an active adult.
How do I get in?
How do I get in now at 38? Because the prices in a lot of cases are better. Of course, if you can find some extremely luxurious ones as well that are highly priced, but better pricing.
Sure. And not just that, but as you start, the design is killer.
Yeah.
Like, there's Mediterranean styles, there's contemporary styles. there's two car garages, there's three car garages.
I mean, it's not so cookie cutter like how the old Century Village used to be, you know, like we don't want to disparage anyone, but now they're designed with contemporary aesthetics and open layout and personalized touches that appeal to, you know, most more people.
Yeah.
But what about the lifestyle?
The lifestyle, it was often at one time associated with a more passive retirement lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And back originally when the concept came up, you know, there were limited amenities. There were just basic living needs that didn't have a whole lot to offer other than here are your golden years, you're there, here's a place to stay. And
we'll drive you, we'll drive you to Publix or to a rec center.
And here's a place to stay. And that was just it. But now, you know, active adult communities, they're designed for those who want to lead a dynamic, engaged life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm talking dynamic. I mean, it's just living at its best, which is what you should do when you're in your golden years.
Mm-hmm.
You should be living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why, if you're not, then you're not doing something right. And this emphasizes wellness, fitness, and a variety of social and recreational activities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different there. What about the other one, Tiffany, amenities and services?
Well, you know, we've talked about it, state-of-the-art fitness centers and all of that. In the past, you know, maybe they focused more on safety and basic comfort.
Very basic.
Now that's so different.
Yeah.
You know, and then the social engagement component.
Yeah, that was, as you start talking about the design and architects and that part of that, that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was... I think they were just limited more and geared towards traditional gatherings than anything else.
Now with the clubs and even organized trips and classes and, you know, learning opportunities, you know, ensuring that the residents can really engage in a wide variety of interests, you know?
Yeah, I had an associate of mine who moved into an, actually loves it, lives in an active adult community. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about, you know, let's maybe just go out for dinner and just sit down and he said, no, not tonight, we're having something down at the clubhouse, give me a call next week.
So but talking like, about that,
we didn't even want to go out.
Communities now that have their on-site restaurants are being built in the communities. Like we just saw one that popped up in the tradition area that we were like, new restaurant. And then we realized it was inside an active adult community. We're like, man.
You would dress up to go into this place.
This is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now, back in the day when it was considered senior living, you know, they assumed that, you know, most of the residents were retired and leading a more, you know, slower lifestyle.
Similar lifestyle.
Yeah, but now they're being more inclusive. Yeah. You know, because people are still working.
Yeah.
You know, 55, a lot of them are still working.
Right.
You know, they have they desire different levels of independence and support.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and at 55 now, and I think the difference in what, you know, when you look at 20, 30 years ago, maybe more, but I think that's a good span, maybe 30 years ago. You know, people worked jobs where they were physical. They had to go out and do things. So, you know, that need to feel like, hey, I need to retire at some point, it was more thought about than other times.
Yeah.
Where now, you know, you could work remotely or do some other things and you're still
people
very
are living
active
longer and
engaged.
Stronger
absolutely.
And healthier. So, of course, they want to do more and be more engaged because modern active adults communities are more than about aging. They're more about maintaining an active and fulfilling connected lifestyle, you know?
Well into the later years.
Yeah.
Yep. So they also, the part that we didn't talk about earlier is the specific eligibility criteria and the guidelines that maintain that lifestyle and environment. And so we'd like to get into some common restrictions and qualification requirements that we want to share with you all. And Tiffany, you want to
Kick off? Age is the most obvious one. An active adult community, 55 and up, and some communities 62 and up. And normally they have to provide, of course, proof of age, driver's license.
And in some cases, it could be just one person in a household, not everybody.
Because household composition, some communities require all residents to meet that. And some of them might allow one member of the couple to be younger. So in a situation where one of the spouses are younger, they would allow that that type of relationship in the community.
Right.
Because one person is.
Exactly. But I want to talk about the application process. And residents typically complete an application that include an interview. But what I want you to think about as you consider this and navigate through these waters is that not only are they interviewing you, but this should be your opportunity to interview them. You want to make sure that they're giving you what you want.
Yeah, and it suits everything your lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. It suits your lifestyle. Because
it's a good fit.
This is where you're going to be living, right? Mm-hmm. So you ask as many questions as they ask just to make sure not only are you a good need for them, but they're a good need and feel for you.
Yeah, and that's that the importance of reviewing the community rules and the HOA guidelines because, you know, don't skip that part because you need to know exactly what you're getting into and knowing that, you know, is it possible for your grandkids to come and spend the summer with you?
And how much time can they spend?
Yeah, or you know, can I have my 16-year-old nephew move in? Mm-hmm. So thinking about all of that and also rental restrictions.
Yep.
Like, can we rent our property out? Because they, you know, there a lot of them are tight on that because they don't want it to be a rental community where younger, even younger people are moving in.
Yep. And also pet restrictions.
For sure.
That's something you want that just to make sure that you know what you're dealing with. But before making a move, it's essential to review the specific rules and guidelines on the community you're interested in because requirements can vary from community to another.
Absolutely. Yeah. This ensures that, you know, your expectation aligns with the community's what they have to offer.
Yeah.
You know, they can be a great option for those that are looking to simplify, you know, your day-to-day life and still stay connected, active, and engaged in a community that have supportive people that are similar to your age and to what you're interested in.
Yep. You know? We'd like to have more conversation about anyone who's interested. You can reach us at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. And we're here to help you. And Tiffany, it's been a great show tonight.
Yeah, and we definitely, you know, consider thinking outside of the box with something like this. And I know some people are like active adult because, you know, you're younger and you may see all of these active adult communities and not really sure what it is and what they have. But we hope that we were able to break it down for you a little better today.
And there's also generational housing. So there's a couple of options.
That.
But start thinking about you before you have to think about you.
Yeah, reach us. Reach out to us at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. We're here to help. And we love that you spend time with us. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Have a great evening. Take care. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Real Estate Show with your hosts, Luke Lewis and Tiffany Young. Thanks for tuning in as we explored everything you need to know about buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Our mission is to keep you informed and ahead of the curve in today's market. Be sure to join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for more expert insights, tips, and local market updates. You can always reach us at 772-510-6801 or by visiting our website at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. Until then, stay informed, stay inspired, and of course, keep it real in real estate.
I hear the Spirit say it's time.